Welcome to Bodcast, the Business of Dentistry podcast, brought to you by Practice Plan. Bodcast delivers the best business advice, real-life stories, and practical hints and tips to make your practice a more profitable and sustainable business. And now, here's your host.
Hello, I'm Nigel Jones, and I'm Sales and Marketing Director at Practice Plan. And I'm joined today by Eddie Crouch, and we're going to be talking about some of the results, some of the outcomes from the NHS Confidence Monitor that Practice Plan have been running for now a couple of years, and looking both at the general level of confidence in the future for the NHS, and then also one or two things that were highlighted in the survey that people felt might help the situation. So welcome, Eddie. Thank you very much for joining us. I wonder if you wouldn't mind just starting by introducing yourself and giving us a bit of info about your background.
I've worked in Birmingham as a NHS dentist since 1988, and more recently my career has taken me more into dental politics. I became secretary of my local dental committee prior to the introduction of the 2006 contract. People might know me for a judicial review where colleagues helped support my challenge against South Birmingham PCT. And more recently, I've been on the General Dental Practice Committee of the BDA, and recently was elected as vice chair to Mick Armstrong of the BDA Principal Executive Committee.
Great, thank you very much. One of the things that we've actually spoken to you about quite a bit over the last couple of years is this NHS Confidence Monitor that we've been running.
Yeah.
And there's been a fairly clear pattern in the results there, which is every time we run it, confidence in the future for the NHS seems to reduce. What's your take on the current situation?
I think it's incredibly frustrating because it's very difficult to see any light at the end of the tunnel. More and more things are coming down the line that make you less and less confident in the future of the NHS. I mean, every corner that you turn, there seems to be an increasing pressure, whether it's falling income, whether it's the over-regulation, whether it's the issues of contract management within area teams, whether it's the depression of the progress of the prototypes. It really is not surprising at all that people are less and less confident in the NHS. And it's worrying because, you know, all my working life, I've worked almost exclusively in the NHS, and I don't think I've ever seen a situation where people's morale is at such a low ebb.
And what's your sense of the progress of the prototypes and the likelihood of getting some kind of clarity? Because I think the uncertainty about the future is one of the most demoralising factors for the profession.
We're very early days into the prototypes. I mean, the people who took part in the pilots and who failed to keep up their levels of access were eliminated from the pilots and not taken forward. So it's pretty clear that the government's indicator for success is access, and really what I'm concerned about is access to what. You know, the evidence so far from the prototypes is too early to judge, but some of the early indications from the people who are participating is quite worrying. They're struggling, especially the people who have been in it right from the outset since the pilot stages. Some of the new people entering who were previously UDA practices have found it quite an interesting period of time. And of course, you know, moving away from UDAs has made them feel relatively optimistic. But some of the people who've been in it for a long time are finding it very difficult with the introduction of activity and quality markers and certain numbers of patients to maintain. And are really concerned that in the future, you know, towards the end of this financial year, let's remember that these prototypes are real and with real possibilities of financial clawback to these participants. And that is really worrying, that people are thinking of pulling out because of that risk.
Yeah, that is worrying, because obviously if they are going to adequately test a new contract, they need sufficient pilots and prototype testers to do that, and you don't want them dwindling. So do you think that will potentially delay the implementation of a new contract?
Well, the mindset of the civil servants seems to be that, you know, we've got this timeline to develop and we will roll things out. They had the opportunity to evaluate what was going on independently, but the evaluation of the pilots previously and presumably of the prototypes will all be done in-house. And therefore, you have to have worry about how robust that monitoring, that evaluation will be, because they want to see certain things at the end of the process. And if it was done independently, the profession would probably have some confidence in it. But it's not being done independently. It's being done within the department itself. And I have to say, as a cynical old being, you know, I worry about the department and their independence on this.
So you mentioned earlier on about the fact that one of your concerns was access to what, and actually what does it look like?
Yeah.
And a lot of the profession, I think, are not clear at all about what NHS dentistry will represent.
Yeah.
And one of the things that came out of the survey was a desire that one of the things that might actually improve it would be if the public's perception of dentistry changed, if the public's understanding of NHS dentistry changed. What do you think was meant by those people that said that would help?
You know, when you do friends and family tests within your practice, whether you do surveys of patients who try to access an NHS dentist, whether you talk to people about their own individual dentist, everyone likes their own individual dentist. Everyone thinks the other dentist down the road is the crook. And that's... That's interesting what the public perception is of dentists. You get to the point where you build up a relationship with your patient, and people are worried that the use of skill mix might jeopardize that rapport that you build up. And as an individual dentist working one-to-one with a patient on a regular basis and seeing families grow up and develop, you build up real relationships with your patients, and patients value that. They definitely value that. I think patients value time with their dentist. And what I'm worried about is what we're looking at is moving away from the initial concept of actually trying to motivate patients and a preventive-driven contract to one where we're setting targets of numbers of patients. And if you set targets on numbers of patients, then the time with the patient inevitably suffers. These things don't sort of balance well. And if the driver for the department is purely the fact that everyone has access to an NHS dentist, then patients will have access to an NHS dentist. And we talked about access to what? Inevitably, you will have the situation where the quality of the care must suffer. It must suffer if all we're being measured on is purely the number of patients that come through the door and sit in the chair.
That was interesting what you were saying about the fact that patients love their own dentist, but then don't trust anybody else's dentist and feel sorry for all of their friends that are seeing a different dentist to the one that they're seeing. Does it matter what they think of the profession as a whole if they like their own dentist?
I think it does. I think it's an incredibly difficult obstacle to overcome. You know, getting good press for dentistry is not good. You know, I appear on lots of media outlets purporting, you know, and talking about how good. And when you are interviewed, you know, the interviewer respects what the profession does, but that doesn't seem reflected in you know, public opinion on dentistry. And that's... It's a really, really difficult thing to get over. But I think we work hard to actually promote ourselves on a one-to-one basis with the people we actually see. But the media are very interested in portraying us as people who hurt people, people who are caring about our bank balances rather than their mouths. And sadly, you know, there are stories within the profession that just fuel that, and those sorts of stories are far more popular with the press than the ones where we are a caring profession in the main.
So do you think there's any scope for really changing that, or is that just the way it is, because the media will always be driven by the need for readers and listeners and viewers rather than necessarily an accurate portrayal?
Well, I do perceive that in the last few years, some of the stories that we've managed to get out with from the BDA, we do appear to be getting some sympathy. I mean, people are alarmed at the number of children that are going into hospital and having lots and lots of extractions. People are beginning to wake up to the fact that, you know, sugar in the diet and sugar in fizzy drinks and other things within the diet are issues that people need to be addressing. As we try and promote the health of our population, you know, I think we are beginning to make inroads into the general consensus that dentists are really interested in the health of the patients rather than just their bank balances.
Yeah, I certainly think that seems to be the case for this year. I've seen more positive news stories and positive television coverage than I've seen for many a year, I think, which hopefully won't be a flash in the pan. It'll be a sign of things to come.
Yeah, and you know, throughout the summer, you know, we've utilized some of the options of promoting things like patients' charges, and the ever increasing amount that patients are having to pay for their NHS treatment as something, and patients will respond to that. The BDA are about to do a campaign, in the BDJ fairly soon, posters are going out to dental practices for them to actually display about how patients' charges are affecting people's decision making in their treatments, and hopefully dentists will put these up in their surgeries, and by doing that we'll get some feedback to the politicians, because as I said in a blog I've recently written for the BDA, yeah, you know, politicians don't really care about the dental profession moaning. We do it well, we do it often, they're fed up, they don't listen to us, but they really are interested in how people think of them as politicians and how they go forward with health services. And if we can get that message across to patients, then at least the tide may turn.
Yeah, that very much fits, I think, with the thinking that I've detected behind this request that came through the survey, of saying one of the things that would help things change is if the public understood the NHS dentistry better. So I guess what you're saying is, with the BDA doing things like educating them about the patient charges and what that might impact, are there other areas of the contract? Because it seems to me that patients don't really understand the constraints that the profession work under with the NHS contract. Is that something the BDA could do something about, do you think?
It's very difficult trying to explain to patients really about contracts. They're not really bothered about that. They're only interested in how it affects them as a service. And recently, you know, I did an interview for one of the major radio stations, and you know, they honestly believed that the patient's charge rise of 5% was going directly to the dentist. So their understanding of NHS dentistry is not there. I'm not sure, you know, we ought to spend lots and lots of time explaining that to them. I mean, we ought to encourage the Department of Health, and I know other speakers are very keen for an oral health message to be a national policy. And I think really, you know, I'd agree with that. I think we need to actually get patients better educated about how they look after their mouths.
Want to take more responsibility themselves? Is that...
Well, inevitably, because what we can do as dentists is very limited if patients completely ignore that advice and go away and do whatever they want in between visits to the dentist. You know, we're not like mechanics in that we put everything back together again when things break down. We are people who try to prevent dental disease, and that message needs to get out.
Great. Well, on that note, thank you very much, Eddie. Really enjoyed talking to you this afternoon, and look forward to speaking to you again.
Thank you very much. Thanks.